Hey there, welcome people of Earth to Joel Radio, this big show that I have planned for you is going to be awesome. Lots of fun stuff to talk about, lots of stuff in the news. That's a good TV coming on, we'll talk about all those. UFC week, Steve Sabol will join us for UFC picks later, and should be a good show this week on UFC. So. There's the Joel Radio theme song. Oh yeah, you gotta love it. Thank you very much for joining me. I'm sorry, I know people wrote me and said, hey, how come there was no show last week? And the reason was I was having a bad week. so much that I couldn't do the show on my normal show day, which would be Wednesday, Thursday. It was more that I had a bad Tuesday, Wednesday. And then Thursday was a day to rest, I guess. I don't know. I was like, I got to do a show. And I didn't have any guests lined up and there was nothing going on, and I mean, there was very little in the news, I thought, last week. So I said, God, I got to, maybe I'll just sleep in. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do a Friday show, because I had done a Friday show a couple weeks ago, just because I was late doing the Thursday show. And then Friday came, and didn't feel like doing it on Friday either, so I took a week off, but that's when you're your own boss. That's what you can do. And it's great, too, at this job, because I make the same money if I don't do a show. Yeah. Actually, if you want to help out the show, you can always donate. Did you know that? I have a little PayPal account that you can hit on the front page of joelradio.net. It says, donate to PayPal, help buy our lunch. The Corey and Joel Lunch Fund, that's the remnants of that. Now it just goes into my PayPal account. But you can donate with a credit card or a PayPal account. And you can donate in any funds that you have, it'll automatically give it to me in good old American dollars. And if you want to help out the show, go ahead, donate to the lunch fund. But let's get into the show. But donate to the lunch fund. But I'm not going to use it for lunch because I don't want to get too fat. Because I'd be as fat as Kevin Smith. We're going to talk about Kevin Smith being fat. He got thrown off a plane. And I've heard the story, and you probably heard the story, but I think there's more to the story than you might understand. And I'll explain it all to you. Because again, it's one of those stories that I think I think the media took this, took the easy road on this one. There's more to the story than Kevin Smith and the media let on. And I did some investigation, and I will give you the info on that one. Also, we'll talk about the debut of the Winter Olympics. Some funny events. I mean, the opening ceremonies had a big gaffe, and then this event the other night, I don't even want to tell you which one it is, but it was good. New TV shows, Amazing Race came back, Survivor came back. I'll give you a thumbnail sketch of those. And then Steve Sabol will talk UFC at the end of the show with me. And we'll talk about the big UFC 110 in Australia. And we'll get that going for you. I know we have listeners in Australia. I think it's exciting that the Australians don't get much stuff. So they're getting a UFC this week. So I hope they enjoy that. And make it out there, watch UFC. We haven't had a UFC in Detroit, and probably never will. It's our shitty economy. I'd like to see UFC, but I have to go to Vegas. Maybe I'll make a trip to Vegas and see UFC sometime. But anyway, let's get into this Kevin Smith story, because for those of you who don't know, Kevin Smith was thrown off a plane last week. He was flying Southwest Airlines from Oakland, California to Burbank, California. Now, Burbank is kind of the northeastern suburban airport that serves like, the valley there, San Fernando Valley, and a lot of, it's a smaller airport. It's not LAX. It's easier to get to, I guess, for a lot of people. So they fly Oakland to Burbank, Southwest. And Kevin Smith was kicked off the plane. He put it on his Twitter because he was too fat. The pilot said he was a safety risk, and that might be the case. And there was a lot of outrage about, you know, he's a celebrity, and how come he's getting thrown off a plane? There's also a lot of fear about maybe how fat is Kevin Smith to get thrown off a plane. Maybe he's not really that fat. And I'll be honest with you, I don't really know how fat Kevin Smith is. Because I look at Kevin Smith and I go, well, that's a guy, he's kind of built like me, but I actually think he's like way, way fatter than I am. Because I'm not, like, first of all, I'm not as fat as I used to be. I was looking at, in fact, if you want to go look at the old YouTube videos, the Corey and Joel on YouTube, there's some footage of me from just, you know, I don't know, 2 years ago or so, a year and a half ago. I was fat compared to what I look like now. I mean, I've definitely dropped some pounds or toned up anyway. I don't know how much lighter I am, but I've toned up. I've moved the weight around from my belly and my face into my like arms and shoulders and legs and stuff. But, and I talked to Corey. Corey has interviewed Kevin Smith. He interviewed him, you know, to promote some of his movies. And he says Kevin Smith's just, you know, he's average height and chunky, but he didn't think he was obscenely fat. So Kevin Smith gets on this plane, and they tell him, he says he sits between two old ladies. That's the story he told anyway. And then a stewardess came up to him and said, well, the pilot thinks you're a safety risk. You're going to have to get off the plane and take a later flight. And there's the outrage. There it is. Celebrity Kevin Smith is getting thrown off the plane. Now, what you didn't hear in the Kevin Smith story, what hasn't been reported, is exactly what Kevin Smith was doing on this flight, number one, and Southwest's policy for overweight flyers. In fact, why don't I bring up the Southwest policy just so I don't get it wrong? They call it the customer of size Q&A. You can go look this up on Southwest. Customer of size Q&A. Now, Kevin Smith takes this flight. He says it's a flight he takes all the time. Why he's going from Oakland to Burbank, I have no fucking idea, but he's going. Maybe he's doing press in San Francisco, and he would use the Oakland airport. I don't know. And he says he flies Southwest, and it's not a problem. Now, well, here's what you don't understand. Kevin Smith bought probably, now this is my assumption. This is the only thing I'm going to, this is the only point in which I'm going to talk out of my ass. But I will be talking out of my ass for just a brief second here. Kevin Smith knew the policy of Southwest. And their policy is if you're too big to sit in the plane, in the seat, in one seat, you have to buy two seats. Now, my point is that Kevin Smith knows this policy because, A, he takes these flights all the time. And two, he had actually bought two tickets on that day to fly from Oakland to Burbank. Now, a lot of times, that's not really being reported anywhere, but that is the truth. Now, the reason Kevin Smith, you say, well, if he bought two tickets, how come he didn't just take two seats and everything would be fine? And the answer is that Kevin had tickets for a later flight. He had bought two seats on a later flight from Oakland to Burbank. He decided he would fly standby to get on an earlier flight. And when he got on the standby flight, he didn't have two tickets to fly standby. He had one ticket to fly standby. And this plane was full. So he got on the plane, only found one seat, which was between two passengers, and then he got thrown off. So what ended up happening is that Kevin flew on the later flight with his two tickets and had no problem. Now, let me explain the policy from Southwest Airlines. The policy is that if you have to fit between the two armrests, okay? And the two armrests are 17 inches apart. That is the width between the armrests. Now, think about how big that is, folks, because if you don't know, pull out a tape measure or a ruler or whatever you have and measure 17 inches across. In fact, measure like the chair you're sitting in now or your car seat or whatever it is. Because I'm sitting in an office chair, and this is a somewhat oversized office chair. And my office chair is about 19 and a half inches across. It doesn't have armrests. It used to, but I took them off. Not because I was too fat. It's because one of them broke. So I took them both off. But, yeah, it's 17 inches across. Now, looking at my seat, you know, I'm not taking up the 19 and a half inches like in the, I measured the back of my seat. And I'm not taking it up. I've clearly got, you know, an inch and a half on each side. In fact, when I just put the tape measure up to me, just to see how wide I was, I think I measured that I was 16 and a half, roughly, inches wide. So I guess I might be a tight fit on Southwest, which is weird because I'm not that fat. You know, like Corey, just as a guy that you know as an example, is heavier than me. He's taller than me, but he's also a little wider and bigger than me. We're similarly sized. I think we're similarly proportioned, but Corey is larger because he's taller. And even Corey's not what you would call a big fat guy. He's a stocky guy. He's not a big fat guy. So I don't know. I mean, how many people have to buy two seats on Southwest? I think a lot of people probably do, if that's the case. 17 inches. Measure it, folks. It's not that big. It really isn't. So anyway, so Kevin, gets... So he had bought two tickets. Now, the Southwest policy is this. Okay. If you're a person of size, according to their definition, and you cannot fit between comfortably... If you're unable to lower both armrests and or you compromise any portion of the adjacent seating, you will need two seats. So that's the policy on their website, okay? He had bought two tickets. Now, the policy is if you buy two tickets for the flight and you get on your flight. Now, Southwest also does a weird thing where they don't do reserve seating. And I guess I don't believe there's any first class on Southwest. I've never actually taken Southwest, but... I believe it's all, you know, coach class. It's one, it's economy class. It's one class of seats. And you basically, you know, you get on and it's first come, first serve, and you take whatever seat you can find. And if you buy two tickets for a flight, what you would do is you would sit down, and you would find two empty seats together, sit down, and then put your ticket for the extra seat you bought on your seat, and that will hold it from anyone else taking it. Now, the problem with Kevin Smith in this point was that he didn't have two seats, or there weren't two available seats. So let's say the flight was sold out, but Kevin Smith did have two seats, and he was able to go and procure two seats together, and he had two tickets. That would be fine. They would fly with the empty seat, and Kevin would have an extra seat for him, and it'd be no problem. Because he was flying standby, and the flight was full, there weren't the two seats, so Kevin couldn't get an extra seat. And their policy also states that if you do book a flight and the flight isn't full and there are empty seats on the flight, that Southwest will actually refund your extra ticket, which is nice of them. So even though you've bought two seats, if you're using a seat that just happened to be empty, it's not sold out and you don't need to actually reserve that empty seat, that Southwest will refund your empty seat, which is nice of them. Now, I think explaining all that, I can say that really nothing happened to Kevin Smith that was not to be expected. Look, it sucks to be Kevin Smith. It's embarrassing as all fuck. Don't get me wrong. And I like Kevin Smith. I'm not a huge fucking fan of his, but I like Kevin Smith. I like some of his movies. He seems like a good guy. You listen to him interviewed. I don't know who pays. What was it? I'm talking on my ass again. I apologize, but. I believe they wanted $70 to watch him give a lecture. They did this evening with Kevin Smith thing where you go to I think it was the Royal Oak Music Theater in Detroit, and you can listen to him talk. And he was charging $70, which is, you know, I'm going to say that's $60 too much to hear Kevin Smith talk. I mean, people barely can spend the $9 a ticket to watch a movie. Of Kevin Smith. How are we going to, you know, pay $70 just to hear the guy babble on about stuff? To talk about his movie. It's ridiculous. Get the DVD. I'll watch the commentary, Kev. No thanks, bro. But anyway, but all you heard was that, oh, Kevin Smith's too fat. He can't fly. He gets thrown off a plane. But it's not, you're not really hearing the whole story. The whole story is that Kevin Smith was taking a risk in flying. He knew he needed two seats. There weren't two seats. He was asked to leave. That's the story. Okay, not such a big deal. Now, they do say that, you know, they do this for safety because if the armrest will not go up and down safely or, you know, easily, that if the flight needed to be evacuated and the armrest wouldn't go up and down, that you could be endangering the lives of other passengers. That's what they're saying. And I understand that, but it's probably more from complaints that people have that fat guy. and he spills over into your seat and he's leaning up against you for however many hours. And the Oakland to Burbank flight, I'm guessing, it can't be more than an hour and a half, if that. I mean, I think it's only like a six-hour drive or so between those places, so I don't know how it could be. I mean, that's like going from Detroit to Chicago or something. That's really hardly a long flight. But that's what you heard from Kevin Smith. That's, you know, his outrage. He went and feigned outrage on his podcast and all this stuff, and I'm here to say, really nothing to be outraged about, Kevin. Maybe you should hit the gym. When Southwest throws you off the flight, don't go running for the media. Don't go running for your podcast. No, sir. You should go running for the nearest treadmill at your local gym and drop some LBs, you know? I mean, let's face it, dude. You're in show business. Lose some pounds, brother. I'll be going to the gym right after the show today. Not making that up. Probably going to hit McDonald's on the way home from the gym, but I will be going to the gym. Today. I actually went to the gym last night. Did cardio. It's nice. Okay. So speaking of Kevin Smith, speaking of working out, not speaking of Kevin Smith, we're going to change topics from Kevin Smith. But we will talk about physical activity. The greatest athletes in the world are at the Winter Olympics in Vancouver this week. Or next couple weeks, anyway. I don't even know how long it lasts. They never tell you how long the Olympics last. They count it down, count it down, count it down. You know, it's, you know, like NBC will do, you know, you'll watch the Today Show, and it's like, the Olympics in 236 days in Vancouver, and then just, oh, God. It's like, I know people like the Olympics and stuff, but, you know, it ain't that big a fucking deal, NBC. Mellow out, man. And they're saying the Olympics is winning, you know, these ratings every night. Well, that's just, and NBC finally is winning some nights because they've got the Olympics, but. Might not be the case. They might have won something else if they had a decent show. But anyway, I digress. So the Olympics are on, and if you watch the opening ceremonies, and I only saw, God, probably the last 20 minutes of the opening ceremonies, but really one of the greatest things you'll ever see was when this... They're doing it indoors at a stadium. It looks like the old Silverdome. It's got that bubble top to it, you know. And there's four Olympic athletes. It was Steve Nash, the basketball player in the NBA, Wayne Gretzky, the retired hockey player, who's you know, one of the all-time great hockey players, no question about it, and two other people who I don't even know who the fuck they were. One guy in a wheelchair, and then some broad. I don't know what the broad did, but she did something great, whatever. Whatever makes you great in Canada. You know, she made a good cup of coffee at Tim Hortons or something. I don't know. Maybe she was the goaltender for the Quebec Nordiques. I don't know what the fuck this woman did, but she's there to light the torch. There's four of them, and these four pillars come out of the ground to support this cauldron. It kind of looks like logs that are kind of crisscrossed, like you might make a campfire, and the cauldron's in the middle. And you're going to light these four logs or poles, whatever they are, and the flames will shoot up and light the cauldron. Well, they get there, and they try to light the cauldron, and one of the four, you know, so the four of them each have this torch that apparently weighs about 4 pounds. And it's on fire, and they're standing in the middle of the stadium waiting for these pillars to come up. And it's obvious that one of them's not coming up. And they had shots away, and Steve Nash was cool because he just waved to the crowd. But it was pretty obvious that things were going bad, and there was, you know, Bob Costas and Matt Lauer were doing the commentary for NBC, and they were going, we have an obvious malfunction, and Wayne Gretzky, and you see the look on Wayne Gretzky's face. And Gretzky gave an interview where he said they were talking in his ear. He had the little earpiece, and the producers or the director of the show were talking to him. But Gretzky looked so fucking uncomfortable to be out there. Like, Gretzky was such a good guy and such a great player, and he never failed at anything, and he's this amazing guy. And he's out there trying to light this torch, and the fucking thing's not coming out of the ground, and Gretzky looks pissed. You gotta check this out. I'm sure there's lots of places you can see these the footage of it. I didn't find one in particular. I watched it live, and then I think Deadspin had it, and they always got fun stuff like that. But Gretzky really looked agitated. He looked like he didn't want to be there, and it was just so uncomfortable to watch this. So really, and you figure, you know, these goddamn Olympic guys, these people that put together the opening ceremonies because they have to make it this wild show and, you know, this great thing, and, you know, everyone's trying to do Beijing, which I guess Beijing, I didn't really see it. I saw a little bit of it, I guess, but they did the Beijing Olympic opening ceremonies with all these fireworks, and it was crazy because, you know, Chinese, they run around with the dragon and, you know, shoot off firecrackers and stuff. And, you know, they do a big thing. And, you know, Vancouver felt a lot of pressure to make this thing nice, and, you know, they get all this stuff. And they did have some cool stuff. They were projecting, like, water and fish swimming under, like the floor of the stadium was whales, and they were swimming across. And then they had timed it. They put these little, kind of pyrotechnic effects where water would shoot out, so it would look like the whales were, you know, their blowholes were shooting out. So it was very cool night, a lot of effects. People are singing and dancing. Bryan Adams is up there. Nelly Furtado. Katie Lang sang some fucking song. There was some fat guy who gave poetry, who's actually, that guy's worth watching. Because this guy looks like Harry Knowles or something. He's like a big, fat, round piece of garbage. And he's up there. I mean, this, talk about taking two seats. I mean, this guy, I don't know. He gave this whole poetry about, it was like slam poetry about Canada. And I guess the guy hasn't traveled anywhere because he's probably too fat to sit in the seat. Of course he loves Canada. You've never been anywhere else, you fat tub of guts. But anyway, he's in the slam poetry. But then, you know, the final thing is you've got to light this cauldron. And these four, you know, things are coming out of the ground. And it didn't work. And they ended up only rising three of them, you know. And the cauldron sat on the three. And I think it was hanging by wires or something anyway. It wasn't, you know. It was all for show that these four people would light it. But I think the woman didn't get to light her hunk of it. That was the one that didn't come up. So it was kind of awkward for her. But you think that's your only job, is to make sure that fucking thing works. And it died. Like, do you fire that guy? I mean, you worked 4 years at getting these Olympics, and then, you know, you have all this time to plan it, and it doesn't fucking work? I mean, holy shit. I mean, look, I know this show can be dodgy technically sometimes, and I apologize if it sounds bad or whatever. The levels are off, whatever it might be. But I don't spend 4 years trying to get this right. It's true, I've been doing a podcast for 4 years, and it certainly sounds better now than it did in 2005. But, I mean, motherfucker, all you got to do is get these goddamn torches to come out of the ground. How do you not fire that guy? I mean, what do you do to the guy? He ruined the Olympics, in a sense. Holy shit. So it sucked to be that guy. That guy fucked up. Speaking of fucking up at the Olympics, I got some good stuff. I'm gonna put the links in. Make sure to go to joelradio.net. I always have links up there. I had links to all that stuff that those YouTube videos with me and Harry were talking about. But there was a bunch of ski falls. They did this women's downhill. Everyone was talking about Lindsey Vonn and her bad shin. And the Americans were all going crazy over Lindsey Vonn, which I know a lot of you are listening overseas and in different countries. And I'll be honest with you. I'm an American. I like America. I'm proud of our country. But I don't give two shits about Lindsey Vonn, to be honest with you. I don't care. I mean, who gives a fuck if she wins? Who cares about her shin? Holy shit. But everyone's going on about Lindsey Vonn and her shin. Well, she won the downhill. And, you know, everyone's all happy. But here is, she won the downhill, but a bunch of chicks fell on this. And these are some bad falls. Here, the first one here, this was a chick named from Sweden, Anja Parson. Let me just watch this live. She goes down and she's sliding and it sucks. But then she hits like a hill and she goes flying. Oh, shit. Oh, no, that was Dominic Giessen of Switzerland. Yes. Anja Parson's the next one to fall. I got a bunch of these. This is funny. Her ski comes off, she goes down, she's sliding on her back, and then she looks like she's sliding okay. I mean, she's going down a hill fast, but then she hits like a bump and goes like flying in the air. Bam! Down goes Fraser, and she hits her head and stuff, but Dominic Giessen. So she falls. Then the next chick that falls is, I mentioned that, Anja Parson from Sweden. You can hear the commentary from NBC. Yeah, she just flies over a hill. Like one of the jumps, which, you know, is a common thing. But I think she was just going way too fast. She tried to land and bam, bam. So she went more air. I mean, she went airborne on her skis, at least. The other chick was thrown in the air while she was sliding. Look at the look on Lindsey Vonn's face. She saw that all. But yeah, Anya Parsons, she just couldn't land or jump. She had such a great run going, and it was so strange. It was as if she kind of collapsed. I'm not sure which one was worse. I don't know. The chick sliding and falling. But she hits a gate, too, and it rips her ski off. Might have broke her leg or something. So that's Anya Parsons. And then the next one is Italy's Daniela Merighetti. I hate to do this to my eye ties, but let's watch Daniela fall on her ass. Oh yeah. Well, this clip this clip starts just as she's falling, but she does like she's trying to make a turn and she falls forward over her skis, kind of slides on her face for a while. Well, that one wasn't as bad. So the Italian fell with the most grace. I can say that. And now she just slides down the rest of a hill on her ass. That actually looks like fun. Yeah, she's okay. Yeah, Anya Parsons looked like she was fucked up, but this Daniela looks all right. She's pissed, but, you know. What does she do? She's turning. She's making like a right-hand turn. And then what does she try to cut back left? Yeah, she tries to cut back left. She hits a gate, goes face first. Well, she didn't go over any jumps or anything, so that was bad. So as bad as these skiing accidents were, and I'll put the link on this. This was on Gawker.tv. This is the all-time best. This is my favorite fucking fall ever. Of as dumb as these women were, this woman apparently was a top five skier, Marion Roland. I'm trying to do the accent. Marion Roland. Marion Roland in the start. It's a little while. You got to see this fall. Holy shit. She's in the gate. So she starts off like, 1, 2, 3, 4, and she falls right on her ass. She fucking fell in 5 seconds. Oh my God. You got to see this. This is the best. Let me read this article. This is from, the UK Sun, yeah. It says, French woman Marion Roland crashed yards from the start as she began her bid for gold at the Winter Games in Vancouver. The 27-year-old left the starting gate. Within the blink of an eye, lost her balance. She toppled over and landed in the snow in front of stunned spectators. Roland lied, slumped motionless and sobbing on the ground as fellow competitors and fans gasped at shock of the replay. So she fell in about 5 seconds. It was great. Like, literally, I can ski better than this fucking Olympic skier. I swear to God, I can. Let me just watch it again. This is too funny. But it's like 5 seconds. It's amazing to watch her fall. 1, 2, 3. She's 4. And she just falls down. And she... You got to see this. This is my all-time highlight of the Olympics so far. Not all-time, but for this year, the greatest Olympic moment is this broad fall. Now, it's even worse than Gretzky sitting there grimacing. So you got to check out the skiing and check out these clips. I'll put these links on joelradio.net. These are too funny. You got to see these. So anyway, this is great. Okay, a couple other quick things. Well, how much time we got? What are we doing? Okay, because we got to get Sabo on. Trying to work this out. Okay, a couple things on TV real quick, and then we'll get Sabo on the phone. Amazing Race debuted on Sunday. Again, me and Corey, when we did the show together, that was our consensus favorite show, meaning it was a show that we both liked. I think Corey always liked Battlestar Galactica the best, but, you know, he's a douche. Not to put down Battlestar Galactica. I just don't watch it. Don't want to. But... So, if you saw Amazing Race, good episode, good first episode. Some of the first episodes, not so good. They did one a couple years ago. I remember I came on the show and just bitched about how generic it was. And then the one they did last year, or the last season anyway, I guess it was last fall. But it was 2 hours, and one of them was a non-elimination leg, and it was a big pain in the ass. And too long, too much. This one really was pretty good. They went from the United States to Chile, and I don't know what they did. They had to paint a wall in Chile, and they climbed across some cable. It was a good episode. Jeff and Jordan from Big Brother that I liked last summer. They're on this. They were a couple that kind of hooked up in the house. Jordan ended up winning Big Brother. So it's a good first episode of Amazing Race. Not a lot else to note about the teams right now. There's a lesbian team. They seem to be the villains. There's a brothers team where one brother's gay. There is, what else is there? There's a dad-daughter team, and the dad is some kind of coach for the Philadelphia Phillies. So we got a minor celebrity there. Oh, you've got the dumb chick. I wish I had this clip now. Maybe I can find this on YouTube real quick. The chick, and I'm going to have to play it through the speakers. I apologize. The chick who did the, who gave the really dumb answers at Teen USA. I'm typing in Teen USA dumb. Okay, this is, yeah. Miss South Carolina. I wonder what her name is.
Recent polls have shown a fifth of Americans...
Maybe you remember this chick.
...U.S. on a world map. Why do you think this is?
She gives the dumbest answer ever.
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as, and I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. or should help South Africa and should help the Iraq and the Asian countries, so we will be able to build up our future for our children.
Thank you very much, South Carolina.
And Mario Lopez is trying to help her out. Yeah, well, who is this? What's this chick's name? I got a couple different versions of it on YouTube here. Yeah, I don't know who this chick is, but Miss Teen USA South Carolina 2007. So, but she keeps saying, you know, such as, and the, it was so bad. Anyway, she's on there with her boyfriend, who's some kind of model. She actually looks different. She still looks, you know. She's cute. She's not the world's hottest chick or anything, but she's, you know, because she was all this geography stuff that she was mixing up about the Iraq and all this stuff, that she would do terrible on Amazing Race. Well, they did okay. I think they would have finished second. Actually, Jordan and Jeff from Big Brother, and Jordan is so stupid, by the way, from Big Brother. I don't want to say she's as dumb as that chick, but the Miss South, Teen South Carolina finished second on Amazing Race. But they had read the clue wrong, and they didn't... They were supposed to take some kind of little train called a funiculus, which is like some train that goes up and down hills. And they failed to take it, and so they got a penalty. So ended up finishing like sixth after the penalty. But she's on there. So there's a lot of kind of minor celebrities, the baseball coach and Jeff and Jordan on Amazing Race. But good first episode, liked it, still fresh. Still not in HD, which sucks. You got to put that in HD, guys. Come on. Don't give me that shit. You got flip cams, you got all kinds of HD stuff you could record with. Don't give me that you can't do HD on Amazing Race. You can. Speaking of HD, Survivor's back. Love Survivor, and this one is the 20th, and they did another All-Star episode, or another All-Star season. This one's called Heroes versus Villains. The biggest heroes from the past, you know, kind of the good guys against the bad guys, and a lot of people that had won before. Some of the... notables would be the guy Russell from the last season, if you watch Survivor, who was the southern guy who dumped out everybody's water and was kept finding hidden immunity idols without any clues and was real devious. He's on there again. And for the heroes, Rupert, the guy who looked like a caveman who was on a couple different seasons before and didn't win anything, but they ultimately gave $1 million because people liked him. They did some fan vote, which was kind of gay. Boston Rob, who, you know, one of the greatest players ever. He's on the villains team. He married Amber and all that stuff on the All-Stars a few seasons ago, whenever that was. Probably 5 years ago now. But he's back on it. Tom, the guy who caught the shark and won the whole thing, he's back. A lot of good people on this Heroes versus Villain Survivor. But by the time you guys will hear this, most of you, anyway, will have been able to see the second episode. I've only seen the first one. The second one's on in just a couple hours as I record this. So I'm looking forward to Survivor. Definitely check out the new season of Survivor. It's really good. So there you go. Survivor, Amazing Race. What else is good on TV? Does anyone watch Fringe? Because my girlfriend's got me watching Fringe, and I think I've watched maybe 4 episodes of it with her, and it's a good show. It's kind of like X-Files. It's kind of exactly like X-Files in a way. They got an old guy that they who kind of just talks weird and figures everything out, but Fringe is a show. But there's a lot of backstory and stuff that I never saw because I didn't see the first season, and I think that was the last episode I saw was, I guess they're on hiatus for a couple of months, but it was episode 15 of season 2, so I've only seen 4 episodes total, so I'm kind of, I don't know how much backstory there is, if there's any point in seeing the other episodes of Fringe, if I should get a DVD or something, so let me know. I want to know about Fringe, if you guys like it or not. I know Corey watches Fringe too, so, but he said he's way behind, because I don't know, I've been watching Fringe, my girlfriend's got me watching, he goes, yeah, I got like 5 of them on my DVR. And I go, well, you're no help. So anyway, Fringe is on. What's that crackling? I don't know. I think it's about time to go to Sabo. That's what I think it's time to do. I think it's time to do our UFC picks for UFC 110 this weekend. Let's go to him. Sabo.
Yeah, I'm here.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. I've still got a little bit of a cold, but I'm doing okay. I'm actually almost surprised you're still calling me for picks after my debacle last time. So.
Well, no. Well, here's the thing. Yeah, the last show, 109, I went 4-1, and Sabo went 1-4. But, you know, you did pull out to a lead there. You did hit one of them, I know. You think you got 5-5. So
yeah, I was behind, and I got back ahead, and then just lost it.
Well, here, I got the overall standings right here. I am 29-15 overall, and you're 28-14 overall. So you're down by, like, 1 fight.
It's actually not bad.
Yeah,
really.
It's not bad. I mean, we've been doing this for, God, over 6 months now. So, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So, 110 is this weekend. It's in Australia. It's going to be airing live on pay-per-view. I guess it's at 10 a.m. If you're in Australia, you have to go to the arena at 10 a.m. to watch the show. Do you know that?
Is that true?
Yeah.
Is that how
that's true, because I thought it was going to be tape-delayed, but they only tape-delay it when it's, like, in Europe or something, or the Abu Dhabi show is going to be taped late. But no, this one will be live, but it's at 10 a.m. in Australia.
See, that's what I was wondering, because yeah. I was thinking, you know, are they going to show it at 3 o'clock in the afternoon or something? I don't know what the exchange rate is for time for Australia.
Yeah, that's the way it is. They're like something like, I don't know, there's some ridiculous 14 hours ahead of us or something like that. So, like, I think the live event starts at 10 a.m., and then I think by the time the pay-per-view hits, it'll be, like, 1 o'clock or something, noon in Australia.
Yeah.
So they'll be watching it then. So,
I suppose they don't have a problem drinking that early, I guess. Huh?
No, the Australians, they don't really seem to give a shit. I think people are happy when anything comes through Australia.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Do you know that? Because you know, cover bands started in Australia? Did you know that?
I did not know that. Really?
Yeah, music cover band started in Australia because bands would never go there.
Well, I actually just read recently that Australia is the third, I believe, second or third, but the third largest country size-wise compared to its population. Like, it's ridiculous. Canada is like 5. And you know, small Canada, how large Canada versus its population.
It's very sparse in Australia.
Yeah, very sparse. Greenland is number 1.
Yeah, I can imagine that.
I think there's 19 people that live there.
All right. Well, I don't know if they're watching the pay-per-view, but I'm going to try to watch this one live. I don't know.
Yeah, I had a show got canceled on me, so I'll be watching it.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. Yeah, my girlfriend owes me a trip. She bought me a Hooters gift card for Christmas.
That's right. That's right, I heard that.
And said, yeah, we can go watch a UFC show at Hooters. Because I had been telling her, like, we can go to Hooters. You can go other places to watch UFC. But I was kind of making the joke, like, hey, we'll go to Hooters, watch UFC. So then she bought me a gift card. Now it comes time for me to actually cash in my gift and take her to Hooters to watch UFC, and now she doesn't want to go.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
She probably figured you guys wouldn't still be together, you know.
Thank you. Well, after last week at Snappers, I'll be honest with you, it was a little shaky there, but that's another story for another day. But listen, maybe if you were in town, I'll take you to Hooters to watch UFC. I got $25 we can spend. I don't know.
Yeah, I wish I was in town, but unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, I got to hang out with her. It's Saturday night, and I'm not working, so I told her, well, we'll hang out, do something. But I may not get to see UFC live. I'll have to watch it the next day. But anyway, all right, let's get into our picks. Now, this, is, I think, is a very, very, very difficult show to pick.
I really do, too. I mean, I don't, you guys start at the bottom or the top?
We'll start at the bottom, and I don't know. I mean, I'm in the lead. Do you want to go? I'll tell you. I'll let the guests pick first. You go right ahead. We'll start at the bottom. This is according to the list I have. I printed out the list on MMA Junkie, but the
bottom
I have is Krokop versus Ben Rothwell.
Yep, I agree, and that's a tough one because Krokop has not looked good lately, and Rothwell really hasn't lost to very many people, honestly.
Yeah, I picked Krokop against Junior Dos Santos, which was insane, and you know Rothwell got creamed by Velasquez, but you know.
Yep, that's true, but I don't know if he got creamed. That was that controversial early stop thing, but
no, his nose was broken. He was pretty fucked up. He was not in good shape.
Yeah, he was getting his ass kicked. I mean, he was going to win that fight no matter what.
Yeah.
That's why this was tough to pick. Is that, you know, honestly, you know, I'm going to have to try to go with Krokop on this one again. As much as he's beating the crap out of me,
I know. Me too. I'm picking Krokop too, but I'll tell you. Nothing would surprise me. I mean, if it depends which Krokop you get. The Krokop from Pride would kick Rothwell's ass in 2 seconds. The Krokop that fought Dos Santos, maybe not. So, you know, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. But I'm going to go with that. Rothwell's a big, tough guy, but, you know, he got his ass kicked by Arlovsky in Affliction. And and I think Krokop should be able to hit harder than Arlovsky. And certainly should have a better chin, so...
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I agree 100%.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'll pick the next one. There's a lot of these fights where it's the kind of the younger guy against the older guy. It seems to be the case with like four of these fights. And so is the next one. Now, granted, Keith Jardine's in the prime of his career, or at least he should be. And he's fighting Ryan Bader, who's pretty much brand new. He's only had 3 UFC fights, but he won Ultimate Fighter. And again, I could see this going either way, but I'm going to take, just for pure wrestling skill, I think Bader can win a decision by holding him down. Not that that's the fight I want to see, but I think that's probably likely to happen, so I'm taking Bader over Keith Jardine.
See, that was interesting. I was thinking to myself that that Bader got beat by it doesn't really matter. I think he got beat by Brandon Vera, but that was actually Szczesinski that got beat, right?
Yeah, it was Szczesinski. Bader's undefeated, so.
That's right. Yeah. Szczesinski got beat, and then Jardine destroyed, so I was thinking that. But, yeah. That's the thing. I think Jardine, here's the thing. I'm going to go with Jardine. The reason I go with Jardine, I know. I like the way you said it. All right. You know?
Well, Jardine, for the record, Jardine is 14-7-1. And, you know, he didn't get those 14 in UFC. He got, like, 3 of those, you know, so it's not.
That's true. But the only time that Jardine loses, if you remember, is basically by knockout, by a knockout guy.
Yeah.
You know, Houston Alexander and Vanderlei Silva, you know, like that. Or a
Rampage knocked him out.
Rampage split decisioned him.
Oh, did he split decision him? Okay, I guess I'm confused.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's my point. You got Rampage, who's a great wrestler himself, and Jardine goes to a split decision with that guy. So I'm going Jardine with those damn leg kicks. That's going to take the guy, because I mean nobody has fought, and I mean nobody that I can think of that's currently fighting, you know, in the UFC has fought the talent that Jardine has, aside from Ishida, who fought everybody. But I mean, Jardine has fought, you know, the best of the best, you know, and he's held his own.
All right. Well, you picked Mike Swick on the last show. And to me, he's just the Mike Swick at 205. But anyway, you take Jeremy. That's just my opinion.
Oh, that's just mean.
He's just a guy who can't beat the top guys. And I think Bader might be a top guy because he's that good of a wrestler. But we'll see. Okay.
I think potential, but I think it's going to be, you know, it might be a little while for him.
Okay. Well, you could pick the next one. It's George Satoropoulos, who's from Australia, against Joe Stevenson.
Yeah. This is the same example you got that you just really did. You got Joe Daddy, who's got 50 fights under his belt. against Sotiropoulos, who's another Ultimate Fighter guy. I'm going to go with Joe Daddy again. I think Joe Daddy is the ultimate gatekeeper at lightweight. And Sotiropoulos is a great jiu-jitsu guy, and that guy just, you know, flows around people. But Joe Daddy's got, you know, he's got arms and a neck that's really hard to submit, you know.
Well,
and, you know, he doesn't lose a lot, really, unless he's crying when BJ Penn beats the crap out of him.
Yeah, well, yeah, Stevenson is actually a pretty well-rounded fighter. Sotiropoulos is taller and is going to have a reach advantage, but he's not much of a striker. I think he's actually a judo guy, isn't he? Or is he a...
I just remember one fight I saw him just flying through a guy, like, yeah. Move at him, like, it was like, I don't know what he was doing, but it was amazing, you know?
Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
But, so I'm going with Stevenson as well, but this one could go either way. I think most of these fights could go either way. But, yeah I'm going to take Stevenson just based on experience. But, you know, Australia, you know, he could have the hometown crowd, but he could get a hometown decision, too. You got to consider that. But
that's true.
I'm going to take Stevenson. That's all right. True. I'll pick the next fight, Michael Bisping against Wanderlei Silva. This is at 185.
Yeah.
Bisping, they both guys got, let's see, did they both get knocked out in their last fight? Bisping got knocked out by Dan Anderson, and Wanderlei, yeah, I think, lost a decision to Rich Franklin. Am I right about that?
That's correct, except for Bisping had a fight after the Henderson fight, which he looked pretty good in.
Oh, that's right. He knocked somebody out.
It was that Japanese guy. That came up, Kang, Dennis Kang.
Dennis Kang, yeah, he beat Dennis Kang. You're right. He actually kicked Dennis Kang's ass, and I kind of forgot about that when I made my pick because I took Wanderlei Silva. But, again, I think I just go with the experience, and all Wanderlei does is punch, you know? I mean, he's going to stand in front and punch. If Bisping takes him down, I think, yeah, Bisping can end it on the ground with ground and pound. But if he's going to stand, and I get the feeling he is going to stand, I think Wanderlei is going to take this, so that's my take.
I went with Wanderlei too. I don't think Bisping has an answer for Wanderlei. Bisping is a stick and move guy, and that's not really going to work with Wanderlei, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's that certainly could be a good fight. I guess that's more of the way it goes. If it does go down, then you got to give it to Bisping. Not that Bisping's great on the ground, but you know Bisping can hurt you. He's got really good punches from the mount. And that would be
great.
Okay, well, you get to pick the main event, buddy. It's Antonio Rodrigo Nogueira versus Cain Velasquez. I guess the winner of this probably gets a title fight at some point. So
I would definitely say that's true. And this is the hardest one for me to pick because, Cain looks really good. Cain looks really good. But Nogueira, man, Nogueira, you know, takes, you know, Fedor to decision, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Made Randy look terrible.
Yeah.
He made Randy look terrible. Only loss he's really had was the Frank Mir, and that was when he had a staph infection and everything else. I got to go Nogueira on this. In all honesty, I'd like to see Cain win. I really would. But Nogueira's just as good a striker, I would think. You know, maybe not as strong. You know, just as good a striker. Kane's a wrestler, but he doesn't want to get Nogueira on the ground. I mean, that's a big mistake to get Nogueira on the ground. So, I hate picking it.
No,
you know, but
I agree with you. I'm picking Nogueira as well. I think Nogueira controlled Randy Couture. He didn't control Randy Couture on the ground, but he was not controlled by Couture, who was, you know, arguably a better wrestler than Velasquez, although Velasquez is a high-level wrestler as well. But, Nogueira, you know, was able to hang with Randy on the ground. He's got good boxing. Velasquez gassed against Chuck Congo in a fight that he, you know, had in the bank, but he did not look good in later rounds. Nogueira, I think, could win this on a decision. Don't hold me to the decision part, but I think if it does go to a decision, that's going to be because Nogueira was able to wear him down for three rounds. So I agree with you. But who knows? Velasquez has never been beat, so it's hard to pick against a guy who's never been beat. But the other thing is that it's in Australia, and I wonder how well Velasquez is going to travel because, you know, Nogueira fought for all those years in Japan, and I think it's pretty much the same time difference for him.
Mm-hmm.
And Velasquez, I don't believe, has fought outside the U.S. Maybe he did one of the European shows, but
I don't think so.
I don't know. But so I'm going with Nogueira. So we're pretty much taking the same guys except for Ryan Bader versus Jardine, where you got Jardine. So
yeah,
that's your chance to catch up right there.
There you go. We can be you, baby.
Go Jardine, yeah. So, all right.
Go, man. Well, have fun not being at Hooters.
I don't know where I'm going to be for that. It's if I'm going to be at Hooters, I'm going to be by myself, I think, is the problem. But we'll see. Oh, whatever. My girlfriend, you know, you gotta consider that. I wish they'd have these on a Friday night, which they used to. Friday night used to be UFC night years ago, but they changed to Saturday because Friday nights I usually don't have to have the girlfriend. She's working, so. Big pain in the ass. Well, who do you go to the bar? When you go to the bar to watch UFC, who do you watch it with?
You know, I don't usually go to the bar, but, you know, whoever's around. I mean, I have friends that like it. Last time I went with a couple of local comics in Toledo, Owen Thomas and Donnie P were there.
All right.
And, you know, every once in a while I got a girl. You know, it happens. It can happen.
No, I believe it. I'm not saying it doesn't, but, you know, my girl just doesn't like the UFC.
Yeah, I've been lucky. I've dated a few girls that got into it. I've had if they weren't into it, they at least tolerated it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So. Well, I tell her, like, if you go and you watch it, you might like it. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
But I don't think she's ever really even tried watching it, so it's a big pain in the ass. So.
Yeah, that's sad.
I don't know what I'm going to do. That's sad. Look, people have bigger problems in their relationship than that, but, you know, still.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Because then I got to block out Sunday to watch it and, you know, not get spoilers from anybody, you know, or on the TV or on the internet.
Yeah, I guess that's never fun. You know, you turn on the internet and something crazy goes on, you're like, oh, man.
I know.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's a bunch of shit.
I know.
All right. Well, Sabo, thanks for joining me once again. Good luck with Keith Jardine there. And I don't know, anything you want to plug or anything?
No, I don't have anything to plug right now.
Listeners, of course, no shows to promote, nowhere anyone's going to see you?
Nothing that I can think of at the moment. So.
All right, Sabo.
I got a couple of casino shows in Indiana, but that's not going to help anybody.
They're not rushing out to those, huh?
No problem.
All right, Sabo. Thanks a lot, buddy. Steve Sabo, everybody.
Thanks, man.
Later, Sabo. There goes Steve. Checking in with his UFC picks. Down by one, we got one fight different, but it's going to be a fun show. Check out UFC 110 this weekend. It's going to be a good time. All right, everybody. I think that's going to do it for another action-packed Joel Radio. What did we learn today? Kevin Smith is too fat, and women can't ski. And what else do we learn? I like Survivor, like Amazing Race. Watch those, but nothing's changed there. My girlfriend hates UFC, so that's what's going on. I don't know. That's about it. Hope you enjoyed it. Make sure to send me email at CoreyandJoelRadio.com. That's the address. Click on email over on the front page of JoelRadio.net. Or you can send me a voicemail on the douchebag hotline, 610-552-0746, if that suits your fancy. And if you like the show and you want to help me out here, you can support the show by donating via PayPal. Go to the front page, you'll see the PayPal link. It says buy our lunch. That is a holdover from Corey and I when we had the lunch fund. You could buy us a lunch, but always need money for stuff, equipment, all that stuff. Trying to make the best podcast that I can possibly make. So thank you for listening, everybody, to Joel Radio. We'll catch you next time. Good night. Goodbye.